Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We got a dynamite doubleheader today. Chris Gandy, he's a former Olympian, former Chicago Bull. He's now a financial consultant. He's also a youth sports safety advocate. He's joining me along with Walter Beed. He's an author, baseball consultant for over four decades, helping aspiring players, families, coaches, and recruiters. And the sports doctor's in, some Bob Guider wisdom, some emails. Chris Gandy is also, he's the CEO and founder of the Midwest Legacy Group. Chris Gandy, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here and super excited to have some dialogue, meaningful dialogue with two powerful, you know, prolific individuals around the sports world like yourself.
Well, thank you. I know you're an Illini. My son graduated 91 University of Illinois. And, of course, I went to Louisville. So we were always having contests, man, in men's basketball. Give us some background, Chris, if you would, a quickie on all these great things you've done leading into your financial world.
Great. Well, let me just take a step back. First, I'm from Kankakee, Illinois, so most people don't know where that's at, but shout out to Kankakee. Actually, I went to Bradley Bourbonnais Community High School, so I'm a local Illinois kid was halfway gifted, could walk and chew gum at the same time, and, you know, someone saw that. Right? So someone saw that as an opportunity to grace the orange and blue and wear the orange and blue and represent the state as part of the Illini, and so spent some time there under Coach Henson.
Who was your coach then, Chris? Who was the coach of the Illini when you were there?
Lou Henson for 3 years.
The great Lou Henson.
And then Lon Kruger, my senior year, my exit year. So, and then went on to play in 97. I was a free agent here in Chicago with the Bulls in Deerfield, and you know, pretty much we practiced with the team and had a chance to kind of learn the ropes of being a rookie, and they were really good that year. So ended up that summer, ended up going to San Antonio, and then over in Europe, ended up landing in Europe and playing for a couple seasons over there. And most athletes, as you probably know, it's a dream with a deadline. And at some point, your body doesn't perform at the way your mind does. And had an injury. If anyone is listening to the show, Googles the terrible triad. Try to make sure you don't eat at least 3 hours before. But as you know, as an ortho or in orthopedics, you know, the terrible triad is one of the most unique injuries to the knee. I had to happen mid-game on a return tip dunk put back on a fast break. And, I remember our trainer saying, walk it off.
Yeah, it's tearing three different areas, tendon-wise in the knee, a la Leslie Frazier of the Super Bowl Bears, who rehabbed with us for over a year, a very, very difficult time. And, of course, you know, the pressure to get back and play, the pressure to somehow maybe get back before you're ready, are things that today we're still dealing with big time when we're talking about the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physically and mentally. And one of the big topics that we talk about absolutely on the Sports Doctor, Chris, is this financial world after a pro player, for example, is done and whatever, or the financial world of this great new rookie's coming in and all of a sudden he's got incredible opportunities, or the family who's dealing with their young athlete, and it's a fortune with the traveling teams and the club teams. So the financial side of things in the world of sports, interesting marriage, huh?
It's unique. I can tell you that the transition for me was, it wasn't seamless, but, you know, I was always one of the kids that always looked at sports, kept sports in a perspective that it was an opportunity for me to play a kid's game and get paid to do so. So it was never going to be for me the actual go-to for a career. As long as I was able to play, you know, which was
great attitude. Great attitude. Do you do any one-on-one with Michael Jordan or those guys, by the way, when you were on the team?
I tried not to, but we used to play pig on a regular basis, and we used to play pig, and we used to play kind of like knockout one-on-one, and then you have to position stuff down there. But I want to comment on like a transition, because truly it's one of the hardest, you know, as a professional athlete, it was really one of the hardest things I think athletes have to go through. I think it's really a challenge for players that their identity, as society sees it, is, you know, you're seen as the athlete, and their identity, their entire career of success has been around being a basketball,
right. Nothing
football
can match
player,
it, right?
Player.
I mean, there is nothing afterwards that matches, you know, playing in front of, you know, 25,000 people. We're going to talk a lot more about that, everybody. Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you can go to radio shows, go back years, listen to whatever you'd like, whatever the topic happens to be. We have thousands of followers, lots of sports medicine information on both Twitter and LinkedIn, at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with a former Chicago Bull, Chris Gandy. He's the CEO and founder of Midwest Legacy Group. That's a great name, Chris, the legacy part. But, you know, right before, we wanted to continue with this big challenge. I've had my sports psychology friends who specialize in the coming back from injury, maybe physically or mentally, and then this new area, like you said, this transition, big topic.
It's hard. I mean, I can tell you it's one of the things psychologically, if you take a step back, it's the one thing that the athlete has to do, and the faster they can do it, the easier it is to do. You know, it goes to the makeup of the brain, right? The dopamine, when you run out and someone can, you know, hear everyone screaming your name, you smell the popcorn, you know, that whole nostalgia. And a lot of athletes are never able to find that combination that gives them that same rush that they do when they run out of the tunnel and they're screaming their name and you score a basket. You're not able to get that same rush. And it's a challenge. You know, I work with, you know, I'm actually on the Retired Players Association of NBA Retired Players Association here in Chicago. I'm on the advisory council. And one of the things we see is they're not able to identify. How many players do you know? Just curious. Just think about it. Where after they're in the spotlight, you ask yourself, I wonder where that guy's at. Or what's he doing? And the answer most of the time is they're trying to figure it out. Because, unfortunately, when we're playing sports, we don't take seriously the tools and the skill set that's necessary to be able to operate something else, because all our energy...
Well, these are the key... Yeah, these are the three key words I'll share with you that we talk about on the Sports Doctor. The mental game's a huge, huge topic. Of course, at the same time as a sports podiatrist, I might be talking about what's the best shoe for you, you know, in the same sentence. But that whole challenge of being able to deal mentally with all of these various challenges, again, whether it's all these expectations and then the fact that all of a sudden there might be all sorts of crazy challenges that get in the way with families and the coaching and all these pressures that are involved. If anything, it's like been multiplied times 100 with the whole world of youth sports. I know you're also got a lot of interest. By the way, Chris, give me the website people can go to find out about you and your work and some of your writings.
So you can find me on Midwest, just Google Midwest Legacy Group, LLC. You'll see our story pop up. You'll see our mission statement, what we're about, and our impetus for trying to create what I call multiple generations and multiple legacies. Legacies Beyond Words, Legacy Foundations. You know, we have a couple different programs and ideas. And the whole idea was put together just simply the idea is leave the world a little better than you found it. I think if everybody did that and started with that.
Great,
in mind,
yes. The three areas that we with these challenges, we talk about awareness. You know, all these individuals need to be aware of what the concerns and problems are, like what you're talking about and challenges. Education, to be educated about what can be done, what are some of the tools, like you said, what are some of the methods that work, and then positive action in order to be able to take advantage in these types of areas. And it's amazing how the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, their coach, whether you are a teammate, and the pressure on these kids. You know, we talk a lot on the Sports Doctor, Chris, also the world of concussions. I have world experts on in all sorts of different areas. The youth sports safety is another big area of interest of yours, isn't it?
It is. My son, you know, as a dad, you know, I played, but then my son went through the programs. My son, I coached the AAU team for 8 years. I coached his basketball team until he was in high school, coached them all through middle school and grade school. And, you know, we competed. It was a different level at this point, obviously. And now he decided to change sports and play football. So he went on to play college. He went on to play college football, and he's now, he was the cornerback this past season, past three season, all MAC cornerback at Northern Illinois. So, they followed a little bit in my footsteps and more on the gridiron versus on the hardwood.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, and when you're coaching your own kid, that's a whole other topic, you know, that we talk many times about those kinds of intricacies that are involved, the whole family world, as well as, you know, we have a contest every couple times a year, which sports require the best athletes, and both basketball and especially defensive back. You got to be a dancer with superstar speed and reaction if you're going to be a defensive back. And then you got to deal as a parent with some of the challenges of football, that whole world.
Yes. The game is a violent game, and you try and put them in the right position so that they can do it in a healthy way. It's really challenging to
do,
challenging to do, obviously, because CTE and understanding that role, and you know, my relationship with Chris Nowitzki and his group, the Concussion Coalition. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to educate, apply, inform, and try to do your best with trying to make the game at least a little bit safer for the youth and also for people that are
playing. Yeah, we've come a long, long way, baby. A couple of weeks from now, Mike Pia, he's the CEO of HitCheck. This is a program that predetermined values and situations, so on the sidelines, coaches and athletic trainers could be aware. We've had individuals from athlete intelligence, sensors in the helmet. We've had the famous Adrian Harrell from Metacortex in Finland. Eventually, they're going to have a saliva test on the sidelines with maybe they'll be able to identify right away a head trauma. We've come a long, long way. And, you know, the bottom line, of course, is it just is no safe tackle football. It is what it is. And the effort continues, right, to try to make it as safe as possible for these kids. And then again, the whole financial side for families, for leagues, organizations, is such a big topic. And that sounds with your financial side of things is such a big part of what you're doing.
Well, I think the NIL, right? So if we go back to, you know, of back in the day, there was no NIL money, right? Now, you know, the NIL, you know, the name and likeness licensing program that has come out, you have guys in college. Early on, you have guys that even before college that have signed million-dollar contracts with shoes and sports and their name and likeness.
Yes.
So the access to the capital, before it was you had to jump from high school to go to pros to have that type of money. Now you have high school kids and early college kids.
I'm going to have you back and really talk about that whole thing, big money in college football. It's such a gigantic problem. Give us quickly again, I knew we'd run out of time, quickly again to find out about you and what you're doing, Chris.
Okay, so basically, long and short, we're helping people organize their financial affairs, protect the things they care about the most, and I dabble in a little bit of sports. I say, look, at the end of the day, everybody, there's talented people, but everybody needs
a
plan.
MidwestLegacyGroup.com, Chris?
MidwestLegacyGroupLLC.com. We're helping people win championships for life.
Fabulous.
So that's what we're doing.
Hold on, Chris. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Welcome back. I want to welcome Walter B. He is an author. He's a baseball consultant for over four decades. As a dad, as a coach, as a consultant, helping aspiring players, families, coaches, recruiters. Walter, welcome to the Sports Doctor. Give us some background on you and the world of baseball. Give us a quickie background.
Sure. Student athlete, drafted 1981 by the Chicago Cubs, 13th round.
Yes, sir.
Had a scholarship to go to Arizona State. Should have signed. Didn't sign with Arizona State. Had a brief career as a minor league player. Ultimately became a high school coach. Had children. Became a college head coach. And then watched as my sons managed to go through the high school and then ultimately college recruiting process. And my youngest son is a two-time first-round draft pick, one out of high school by the Blue Jays, then out of Vanderbilt by the Giants, and is now pitching in Japan.
I'll tell you, you know, I was going to quickly say when you talked about it, the world of recruiting, that whole challenge, parenting a child athlete, especially when they're following maybe in dad's footsteps, you know, and that all of those kinds of challenges, quite a background to be able to talk about all the positive changes we are hoping to see in all of these different areas, because we're dealing with an epidemic, in capital letters, Walter, of the overuse problems in youth sports, both physically and mentally. Just so much pressure on these kids many times to play, and having good education, having a good awareness seems to be what you've been about your whole career in these areas. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've tried to get parents to really take a step back and kind of rediscover their involvement. You know, when I was I'm 60 years old, and, you know, our parents back in our day, they were involved, but they weren't engaged. And I think in today's competitive youth sports environment, it's become a social interaction for parents as well as a competitive environment where they're over-engaged, whether it be parents versus other team parents, parents and sports officials, and in some cases, parents with younger student athletes on opposing teams. And I think what this does is it creates a really tense environment for young athletes, because obviously they don't want to let their parents down or their coaches down. And the business of youth sports is really what is pushing what I call a false narrative with regard to, we've taken away the organic nature of youth sports. It's become overanalyzed, overorganized, and it's all based on
this. You know, one of the big things, we got a documentary coming out over the next X amount of months called "Where Our Children Play: The Challenge of Youth Sports," produced and directed Joel Franco from Chesapeake Films, and trying to pay attention to the good changes that we're working very, very hard in so many different areas, organizations like the National Alliance of Youth Sports and iSport 360 and so many other areas. Yet, like you're saying, it's way out of hand. Where, you know, I had a guest on a couple months ago, Walter. He's an official, and he talked about how they can't get any umpires or officials because of the abuse they're putting up with, you know, with some of these parents and coaches and the overzealous parents. Big, big problem still, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge issue, and there's a lot of younger sports officials that just simply don't want to interact with the parents with regard to, you know, bad calls, and it gets very, very contentious and sometimes can even lead to physical altercations, which nobody wants to be a part of.
You know, the three words I like to talk about all the time, Walter, in this world is awareness of what the situation or problem or challenge is, education, trying to learn about what it takes to make a difference, whether we're talking about preventing physical injuries, whether we're talking about understanding the mental pressure some of these kids have. You know, we're very excited with some of your colleagues in Baseball Blue Book about getting involved in a big way in the sports medicine side of things, in this wild world of players, parents, coaches, recruiters. You know, how is that communication going, Walter?
The communication is starting to trend in the right direction. What we're trying to do specific with the Blue Book is to educate families and provide them access and resources that will allow them to hear, you know, from medical, from trainers, from kinesiologists. You know, the biggest thing is we're participating less and competing more. And by that, I mean, you know, with regard to youth sports as a whole, it's competitive heavy and practice or skill set development light. And therein lies our problem. You know, walking is equivalent to being healthy. Throwing and running, you know, they're the same as throwing and pitching with regard to baseball. We have to compete less and participate more as far as with regard to warm-up.
Yes, you're living in a world, and my baseball experts, like, again, with and again, being on the podcast with Eric, having him on my show. This, you know, baseball blue book's like over 100 years old. It's amazing talking about the matter of fact, when I was on the show with him, I said, who invented the word blue book? Was the car industry or was it baseball blue book? I can't remember what he said. They're doing Tommy John surgery, Walter, on teenagers. The overuse problem is a big, big deal. I've been talking about it, I don't know, 25 years, give or take a few weeks. And education is such a big part of it, like what you're talking about, trying to bring a lot of youth sports back to the kids, trying to take a step back and get some of this pressure to play. And education, again, is such a big part of it, whether it is coaching education, parenting education, and or the players themselves, where, like you just said, a major, major point, which is, you know, the difference between playing and competing and practicing, that whole ratio is something that, you know, one of the chapters in my book is the youth sports and drugs, where half these kids are on over-the-counter pain medicines because of the, I got to play, Dr. Weil, don't you understand? I'm trying out next week. You know, this whole world now, you raised kids who played at a serious level, and you lived those pressures, didn't you, Walter?
Absolutely. I have two sons. They're now in their 30s, but one of the biggest things we did, they played multiple sports because they enjoyed it, and they kept it local. And really, the phenomenon of travel sports has created this ranking system, and a lot of parents chase the validation.
Well, you just mentioned one of the most important things in the world. Your sons played multiple sports.
Right.
Another chapter in my book, I call it the prodigy sports. Today's specialization is a very, very big challenge. You know, every doctor, therapist, coach, for the most part, wants these kids to play different sports and use different parts of the body. That's great, unless you're a figure skater or a gymnast. Even soccer and tennis, we're seeing 12, 13-year-olds. This is all they want to do. So it's in baseball, in nice climates, it's like year-round. So the education becomes, again, a big part of changing some of these norms, so to speak, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And the hope is that parents can understand that, you know, by playing multiple sports, it goes more to the interaction and being with friends and classmates, and it keeps things fresh and local. And I think the whole IMG Academy business model of trying to specialize early may have worked for people like Tiger Woods and some of the tennis phenoms. It just doesn't work with the vast majority of youth sports.
No. But we do have to recognize, again, there are these prodigy sports where this is what it is. You know, where we have 10-year-olds doing double jumps and figure skating, this is all they want to do. And then it becomes, you know, the getting a good supervision, which we recommend anyway in all areas of sports, and the challenge, again, of the families and with coaches. And again, some of the recruiting, it's such a big business today, Walter, isn't it?
It's a massive business. Youth sports as a whole is a $100 billion a year business. People are chasing college scholarships, in some cases professional opportunities, and they're being told that this matters at very, very young ages. And at the end of the day, we're denying children basic childhood opportunities to simply compete, have fun.
I want to come back. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Talking Walter Beatty, we're talking the world of baseball and all these challenges of youth sports and that world. It's the Sports Doctor. Be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's the Sports Doctor. We're talking to Walter Beatty, longtime lifer, baseball expert, recruiter, parent, coaching, advising and consulting now with these challenges with the youth sports and youth baseball. And Walter, what are you doing now and paying most of your attention to now? I think, do you have a podcast?
I do a podcast every Thursday evening with college.
You know, I'm always trading radio shows, Walter. Be glad to join you. Let me know when you want the sports doctor to drop in.
Absolutely, that'll be a great addition to the podcast lineup. We just try to reach out to college coaches and allow them to answer questions from parents and student athletes, and it offers families insight into the entire college recruiting process.
Yes, you know, the two things everybody cares about is preventing injuries on the left and enhancing performance when it's indicated. And that's why we make such a big deal about, I don't care what the level of baseball you're playing, what your age is, but you got to strengthen those feet and ankles, man. You got to work balance. And then you can work skills. You got to include those exercises when we're talking about these kids who are growing. And, you know, being sometimes in spikes, you know, very, very early. And so what are some of the things that you're paying attention to now? Again, you're looking to educate coaches and parents. And how are we doing, Walter?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to incorporate is, you know, strength trainers from across the country, getting them to inform parents about the importance of, you know, body weight exercises, stretching, nutrition, hydration, sleep, et cetera, and how important, you know, the role that they play with regard to athletic development. And so far, it's got off to a great start.
Yes, it's a huge area. Again, when we're talking about the importance of foot mechanics, everything starts with your feet. And many times we see that paying attention to that, this is where the awareness part comes in, let alone the interesting, where we had some great sports medicine experts on from all over the world, Walter. And an interesting one, Boyd, one of the top experts, I said, of all the athletes you see, what's the sport you've seen the best athletes? He said baseball. I said, wow, really?
Baseball is one of those sports that truly encompasses all, you know, it's a eye-hand coordination, it's footwork, speed, agility, power. You know, it's something where student athletes of all shapes and sizes can play. There's no height requirement. There's no height minimum, et cetera. So, you know, baseball is definitely an uber athletic sport, and we're beginning to see, you know, the Latin player integration within the sport. And that's a lot to do with, you know, from a very early age, they're very hyper-focused on movement.
Oh,
and,
yeah. One mobility. Great player after another. And it's interesting. You know, I grew up a Willie Mays fan, really dating myself. You know, in New York, we had Willie, Mickey Mantle, Duke Snyder. But they were 5'11", 6 feet, 190 pounds. Now you have the shortstops who are 6'5", pitchers 6'5", 6'6". Bigger, faster, stronger athletes in the world of baseball. And all the challenges that come with it. It's five guys on every team throwing in the mid-90s and just staying out of arm problems, big concern. So it's great to hear that you're really paying attention to that side as well. Rest and recovery, Walter, is something we stress so much with the, you know, I call it the terrible twos, doing too much, doing it too soon, being too aggressive, ending up getting hurt because of overdoing it. You know, his elbow hurts, he's throwing too many pitches, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a big challenge still, isn't it?
Absolutely, but it's also big business. And a lot of young student athletes and their families, you know, if they stop and think for a second, why is my son or daughter being asked to play four or five games over the course of, you know, Saturday and Sunday, when the adults and the college players, they're only being asked to play one game a day, occasionally a doubleheader. But we're playing too much. We're just simply competing too much for meaningless trophies and rings, and it really has to get back to sand.
You know, that's a huge point.
Plate.
Huge, huge point, Walter, you just made. I used to use hockey as my example of a kid playing on the weekend a double, triple header each day, and saying the exact sentence you said, that there's not a pro athlete in the world who has anywhere near that kind of schedule let alone on growing bodies. So we're still working on that big side of the education. Like you said, it's a business. There's lots of money. There's a coach for every position, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why many times, education and the challenges, and then that's the third part, the awareness, number one, the education, two, and then a positive area of action. What we're really looking to do at Baseball Blue Book, besides all the terrific, fantastic things they do already, we want to add this to the mix. Can I keep my son out of overuse injuries? And again, what's the best nutrition? What about the mental game and that whole side of rest and recovery? Big, big area in sports medicine today, right, Walter?
Absolutely. You have people like Dr. Brett McCabe, who was a Division I pitcher at LSU under Skip Bertman. He's a big mental health performance coach. Tara Simon from down in Georgia, she's another one that a lot of families turn to. It's probably one of the fastest growing segments as far as preparation and education is the mental health performance.
You know, one of the contributors to my show, the founder of the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Robert Andrews, with the World of Gymnastics, he's got a wall of gold medals from all the women's gymnastics. He now specializes in post-injury mental challenges. It's become such a big concern. You know, again, am I out forever? Is my career over? All these mental challenges are coming back from injuries, plus the whole other positive mental side. So we're really now only really seeing, I'll even throw spirituality in big time, as things that are being paid attention to today, self-hypnosis, all of these other kinds of things that 20 years ago, medicine didn't know how to spell them, you know?
Well, I think it's an integral part with regard to mental health because of the ever-growing social media. Cameras are everywhere.
Yes.
The opinions
Walter,
are plentiful.
Walter, I knew it, man. We would run out of time. Give me quickly the best place people to find out about you and your work.
Anywhere on baseballprocess.com or baseball11 on Twitter, and happy to answer anybody's questions.
Yeah, Walter Beatty, really one of our champions in the whole world of baseball education. A lifer, as they say, and a sports dad. Thanks, Walter. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor is in segment. Hey, along with that commercial we were just talking about, where we preview some upcoming guests and we add some Bob Guy to wisdom. We answer a few emails. I'm mentioning about the commercial. The new MVP Parent magazine will be out like any day. So if you go to MVPparent.com, you can check that out. It's another great issue. Great shows coming up. The whole world of healthcare and the challenges of our system and all of these concerns. Jennifer Patrick is an expert in this area. Will be joining us. Then Pat Zartman. Pat was a beach volleyball coach for years, and his wife Sharky Zartman, Hall of Fame volleyballer, was the co-author of my book, our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and he has a new book, The Power of Z, all about the whole attitude, mental game coming out. Following week, I'm going to talk concussions with Mike Pia. He's the CEO of HitCheck, a company that really pays big, big attention to capability of evaluating on the sidelines concerns with head trauma and concussions. And then one of our faves, Ian Goldberg, he's the founder of iSport 360, the organization, the app that really gets that communication and education going between families, coaches, everybody else in between. Bob Guida paid such attention to balance, and we called it instability training. And where Bob was looking, whether it was on a mini trampoline, whether it was on something, even the precursors then to the Bosu balance piece, tilt boards, his famous rollable gymnastics beam, which was unstable. He was always looking to create imbalance so that the individual, whether they were rehabbing an injury or they were the best athlete in the world, was looking to work stabilizers. When you create instability, all the areas of the body to correct that imbalance are on. All those stabilizers and support and stabilizing systems. You know, preventing falling is one of the biggest concerns now in the senior population. It's always a big concern in the athletic population. Stability, balance, explosive speed, et cetera. So creating instability, there's a great piece of equipment. I love it, called the Sand Dune Stepper. Go to Sand Dune Stepper at Instagram. You'll see the myriad from pro athletes to rehabilitation. You're simulating the sand and the gripping and the working the feet, and a tremendous piece of equipment. So again, working balance and the importance of it. A couple of emails. Jim said, my daughter's a 14-year-old tennis player. She's had problems with ingrown toenails with her big toes on and off, it seems, for the past year or two. She'd have an infection. They would clip it out, but then it would come out. You know, there is permanent correction, Jim. A common procedure in podiatry called the phenol alcohol procedure, where the offending edge, the ingrown toenail edge only, is removed. But then there's a cauterizing chemical to be used on the growth center so that the edge doesn't grow back. Common procedure. Make sure you're seeing podiatry that can 90-95% permanent correction rate with that type of procedure. Get rid of the problem. You know, Barb asks, you know, my husband's a 45-year-old runner. He's a jogger. He runs all sorts of different distances. He's run for years. He was recently diagnosed with a neuroma. Could you talk a little bit about that? Neuroma is a thickening of the nerve, commonly located, Morton's neuroma, between the ball of the foot between the third and the fourth toe. Particular connection there. When it's irritated long term, maybe someone's got a high arch and they're always hitting that area. Maybe there's excessive pronation, shearing force, whatever. The nerve thickens. It starts to get in the way. The way it gets in the way is it could be causing cramping. Patients might say, you know, I feel like my sock is bunched up, or I'm getting burning, tingling to the toes, very uncomfortable. Years ago, we used to say the only permanent correction in neuroma was surgery, successful procedure to clip out that piece. Over the years in sports medicine, we found there's all sorts of conservative methods, and orthotics is a big one. Redistribute weight away from that area, reduce some of the shearing or pressure, and sometimes combine that with maybe one or two cortisone injections to shrink that nerve. And we've had great success with that. Sometimes ultrasound with physical therapy, also laser, can be helpful. The point is, it isn't only surgery. So if the opinion with your husband is it's a surgical problem, get another opinion and check out that possibility. You know, talking a little bit about the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we'll be talking about it before, and the area of expertise of different experts. We were talking about my co-author, Sharky Zartman, and who's a Hall of Fame volleyball player. As a matter of fact, her husband, Pat's going to be my guest next week, and with his new book and that whole mental side of things. And we pay attention to that in the third section of the book, which we have some experts in the world of nutrition and physical training, psychiatry, coaching, parenting, all talking about challenges of parenting a child athlete. Great topic. You know, it was both guests talked about their athletic children and some of the different challenges, even at high levels where they played college ball, they played high school sports. They were in the middle of recruiting challenges. And that whole world, again, like my last guest, Walter, was talking about, it's such a big, big business. So there's so much pressure. And many times the pressure is overwhelming, especially when we've got overzealous parents or coaches that would be involved. So getting some expertise in all these different areas, the importance of nutrition, the importance of rest and recovery is a big deal. And it's funny, I feature in my section, The Sports Doctor's In, I talk about my colleague Gary Reinel, the author of the book Iced. When the book first came out, it's got to be 5-6 years ago, The Illusionary Treatment, the fact of all of his research that he decided to do to see just what does ice do? How helpful is it? Is it always helpful? And the answer was way, way overhyped. Icing slows down healing. It's great for numbing an area that's injured. And many times it's indicated initially. But as a treatment for icing, many times, it slows down the interaction of healing fluids and getting rid of waste products. Gary's going to be on in the next couple of months. We're going to talk more about how Gary is, has been a trainer who's worked with every professional league in sports, the Olympic level, and he's very, very, very prominent guy. Yet he faced as much criticism and challenge as the late, great Bob Guida, my associate of over 40 years, great sports therapist, who started talking about how helpful stretching was or wasn't, and man, how the sports medicine world came after him. You know, the last section of the book, hashtag a sports parents. It is available for groups. We get a lot of teams and groups who are interested. They go to Ingram Publishing. I think I've got that right. And otherwise, again, it's on Amazon, where we get about a half a dozen parents. And most of the special guests who contribute to the book, as well as the parents, either are previous radio guests of mine or parents of actual patients. And again, getting their feedback on the challenges of raising these kids in a high-pressure sports world. One individual, both his daughters became Division I, one volleyball, the other one soccer. Another gal, his daughter, became a national solo ice dance champion. Young lady ended up dancing professionally in the world of ballet, and their mom and dad giving their 2 cents into some of the different challenges that were involved, again, in trying to stay out of trouble. And what Sharkey made available also in the first section of the book, she calls it Sports Parenting 101, is all aspects that go into the sports parenting world. What level do you want your son or daughter to be involved in? Recreational, just fun? Are you looking to be on competitive teams? What ages make sense? Who are the coaches? What's the league like? All of these different topics. She even touches on the challenges and craziness of the world of abuse with parents. So hashtag Hey Sports Parent. Thanks, everybody. I want to thank again Walter Beatty, Christopher Gandy. Great guests. Great show. See you next week, everybody. Thanks. Sports Doctor.